Indeed, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. We have heard many examples of that this morning, and we continue to hear that as God's people, the church, step up and minister to those in our community in so many ways. And as we gather this morning, we were talking about where we've seen God and praising God for being in this place. I certainly praise God that Mike Glover has got his cast off and he's back in the praise team this morning. He still has a little movement issues there, so we praise God for him. Anita is with us this morning. She's recovering. Linda broke her foot about a week or so ago. She's got a boot she's wearing around this morning. We praise God for Leah's surgery. She recovers for a room at the inn. I mean, just so many, many ways in which we see God's presence. We also want to remember this morning, Rex and Joan Meekins, she fell this week and is in the hospital. We want to lift her up and Rex. So she recovers. And so we are glad that God is working in powerful and wonderful ways. Michelle and I thank you for your prayers, especially for Leah as she is recovering. We got the plate and screws out of her legs, and I think she'll feel a little bit better about what's going on with her as she recovers. As we look at the scriptures this morning, I want to share with you as got one of those senior moments here. As Bruce said, I'll be away. And you know, I want you to know that as your pastor, you want to be everywhere at the same time, but you can't do it. And there's a lot of guilt that comes with that sometimes, knowing that you can't be where you need to be. You get a phone call while you're away. But I say that to say how thankful I am for you and for the leaders of this church and for you as lay servants of God who are there. You know, I think about this week and not being there Wednesday night, and I won't be there this week. And but I thank God because it's not all about one person. We're in ministry together. Drew talked about the young people locking arms together at the Choir of the Fire. Well, that's what we do as the body, as the community of faith. You know, we lock arms together and do God's work together. One person, two people can't do it all. And but I want you to know it's not easy as your pastor when something happens and you feel like you can't be there. But I know God is there. I know the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit is there. And you can say, well, a preacher, that's just an ego thing. Well, if it is, just call me a sinner because I am. And I realize but God is bigger than that. When I leave this world and go on, the Spirit of God is going to keep moving. The church will keep moving. And His work will keep being accomplished. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you this morning as we get ready to hear God's word. And then after the service today, or at the end of the service, I want us to come up. Miss Jean, we want you to come up here, and we want to pray for you this morning as you have eye surgery. Miss Jean's got some issues with her eyes. Things are blurry for her, and she's been struggling along, and we want God to heal her this morning. So reading now from Romans, the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 11. And we hear these words. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace this morning? It's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? There's a couple hours this week I didn't have that peace. I had to be reminded that our peace comes from God and God alone. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in our tribulations. Do you glory in your tribulations? I don't. Do you glory in your tribulation? It's hard to do sometimes. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, we didn't earn it. It was given, freely given to us. For then we were still without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house today. Surely your presence is in this place, as our praise team sang and we sang together. Lord, we believe that. We hope in that. We trust that. We are assured of that because your word says so. We ask your blessings now upon the word as it goes forth this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In my hand this morning, I have a check for $1 million. It's not in our account, so y'all better check y'all's when I wrote this on you. $1 million. Have you ever seen $1 million? Maybe some of you have. Some of you in here maybe. Have you ever held $1 million in your hand? That's a lot of money, isn't it? Check for $1 million. Now, but you know, I'm gonna do something with this check. First of all, when we leave here, I'm gonna tear it up and make sure I throw it away. That's the first thing I'm gonna do. Michelle's going, oh. Miss Jean knows the truth though. She always does. She knows. She knows. I'm going to do something. I'm going to show you something that I don't think you'll believe, but it's true. I'm going to spend this check for $1 million this morning right here in front of your eyes. I'm going to spend it right here. And I'm going to spend it for this old dirty rag that I have here this morning. Now, we all know about dirty rags, don't we? We use them to dust with and to clean with and to do all those kinds of stuff. Would what could you buy for $1 million? You can certainly buy more than an old dirty rag. $1 million, you could get out of debt. You could do a lot of things. To spend it for an old, dirty rag? It isn't very pretty, is it? And you probably have something a lot dirtier than this one. What would you do with this rag? Why would you spend $1 million for the rag? You wouldn't wear it, would you? You would hide it. If you're like us, you keep them hid somewhere. When you get ready for it, you pull it out, and then you use it. And then once it's used, you, some of them you just throw away. You don't use them. You don't use them at all again. What would you use for it? Some old, you know, people are like that, aren't they? We're like that. The scriptures tell us that we are sinners. This old rag and many of those rags we have in our house, once we're done with them, you know, we're ready to toss them away. It's not any good anymore. But yet I have a check for $1 million and I am ready to purchase this rag. Would you do that? If I gave you a check for $1 million, what would you do with it? If I put $1 million in your bank account, would you give your life for it? Would you give your life for $1 million? Maybe you know some people that would. But would you do it? I doubt it very seriously, wouldn't you? I don't believe I would. But yet, Paul tells us in the book of Romans that Jesus Christ died for you and for me while we were yet sinners. We were old, dirty sinners, just like this old dirty rag. Christ gave more than $1 million. God sent his son. He gave his life on the cross for you and for me. $1 million wouldn't even come close to how much God believes in you and me and how worthy God thinks every human being is upon this earth. And every person, no matter who they are, what situation they're in, what kind of lifestyle they have, how they have been treated, Jesus Christ, we're all in the same boat. We're not to judge one another. We're not to think that we're better than one another. Because according to what Paul says, we're all sinners. Just like this old rag. Now, Paul goes on to say that we have access because of Jesus Christ. We have access to everything that God has to offer you and me. You know, we know about access, don't we? Some of you that have been in places that you needed a security clearance. Or if you get on the computer, you know, and you've got to go to a website and you forgot your password. You don't remember your password. And it goes, it says, you're denied access. And you say, well, what did I do with that password? I thought I remembered it, but I don't. It's frustrating, isn't it? You don't need a password to have access to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be awful? Wouldn't that be terrible to think anytime you want to access God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you had to have a password? We'd be in bad shape, wouldn't we? I know I would, because I don't remember them all the time. I'm having to go back every now and then and say, okay, I got to get a new password to get to what I want to get to. We know about access. We know about having been denied access to many things. And it doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't feel good when we have a letdown like that, or when we feel like somebody doesn't care enough about us to help us, to assist us, or to help us embrace resources that can help you and me. Paul says we have access because of what God did on the cross for us. And it's in that access, that grace that we stand. And it's always there. It's always available. Anytime, any moment, and any place. You know, it's not like the doctor's office at 5 o'clock. I saw a note on the door this week where we were coming out with Leah, and there's a door that says, if you come up here after 5 o'clock and you have an emergency, we can't help you. Go to the emergency room. Well, when it's an emergency and there's a lot going on, you won't help right then and there. Jesus Christ, through God's Son, offers us that help right now, right then, and right there. And then we're told, through this passage, we're told that God is always available. Available. He's always available. We have access, we have availability to God and to the Holy Spirit 24/7. That's how much God loves you and me. That's why you are worth more than $1 million. That's why you are worth the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Do you believe that? How much do you believe you're worth this morning? How important do you believe you are this morning? God has made Himself available to us. Not only in this life, but also in the life, even in death, the Scriptures tell us. And Paul says we can stand on that hope forever and ever. And then we are told, not only is God, not only we have access, not only is it available, but that we can acquire it at any time, in any place, at any moment. We can acquire His presence and His love. But you know, it takes some doing on your part and my part. You know, I have a tube with me this morning that's supposed to be for, you know, to put on places that itch or rash or anything. And you know, to solve the problem that I have to open this lid up and take the lotion out. And then I have to apply it to wherever the situation is, my hands or my arms. But you know, if I just take it out of my pocket and I just leave it there and I look at it, and I say, well, you know, that's a pretty tube. It's small. It fits in my pocket. I can take it anywhere I want to take it. It's available. I take it anywhere I want to. I wonder if that stuff in there really works. Well, you know, somebody says it does. The doctor told me it worked. A friend of mine says it really works. Get this stuff. This stuff will really work. Well, I don't know if I should open it or not. You know, I don't know. You know, it might cause an allergic reaction. You know, if I open it up, it might cause it to be worse. I don't know. You know, I think I'll just wait. Oh! Man, my arm's really itching. You know, it's itching so bad I can't concentrate on anything else. I really need something to help me. I think I'll try it. So I take the lid off and I take it and I put it on and I get relief. Man, why didn't I do that sooner? Why did I listen to everybody? That is good stuff. I'm going to recommend it to everybody else. I That's the way it is with God's word sometimes. And with, you know, Paul tells us, Jesus tells us, the scriptures tell us. How much we mean to God. How important you are to God. And how much he loves you and me. But you know, it won't do a thing for us if we don't access it. If we don't apply it to our lives. And it won't do a thing for us if we don't make it available to other people. Not only are you worth Jesus' death on the cross more than $1 million, but so is everybody else that we come in contact with every day. And if God has made himself accessible to us, that means that in order for us to show and demonstrate that love, we have the responsibility, the continued responsibility, to reach out to others. Jesus Christ has given us the peace and the hope. Jesus Christ has given us the peace and the hope that we need, Paul says, to get through suffering. What does suffering do? Suffering helps us endure. What does endurance do? Paul says, it helps us build character. What does character do for us? Paul says, it gives us hope. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, as Christian believers who have this peace, who have this hope, what do we do when we're going through trials and tribulations in our lives with our children? When we're going through illness? When we're going through difficulties at, you know, at work? Going through difficulties with our neighbors? Maybe is it even at church? And even in the church, there can be difficulties sometimes, can't there? But Paul says if we endure it, whatever it is, that through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that God gives us, that in the end, we will be the better for it. That's hard to believe, isn't it? That is so hard to believe and so much more difficult to apply to our lives. But yet there it is. There it is. So how do we maintain this peace and hope and character in the midst of life's pressures and difficulties? How do we do that? It's not always easy. Because when people get under pressure, they crack. It happens all the time. So how do we maintain this peace through each one of those things? Trust. We trust God. We trust what His Word says. We trust the encouragement of our brothers and sisters. We believe it. We apply it. We seek it. Trust. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to Scripture. What are you going to do when it gets right down to it? The only thing you can do is hang on to that trust. Paul reminds us that we're all in the same boat. Paul reminds us that we will go through life's difficulties together. Some will be more challenging than others. But Paul says that we can have peace through it. That's a promise. Do you have that? Do you have that peace this morning? What do you need to make you feel worthy this morning? Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you and know that we are worth so much more in your sight. As we think about that we are old, dirty, raggedy sinners, and that even $1 million, that it in no way, it in no way resembles how much we are worth in your sight. Oh God, we thank you for the wonderful gift of your power and spirit, trust and peace that comes only through knowing and believing in you. Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters this morning who might be going through any of those difficulties in their lives. Help them and help us to believe that if we endure, there will be a reward at the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.